He turned the key in the lock and jiggled the knob. Odd, he thought. The tinkling sounds he heard earlier sounded nothing at all like the brass bell on the frame of that door. Odd indeed. Perhaps it was the remnants of his latest daydream, for the door had never sounded that way before. Still pondering the bell, he turned and rammed into a young boy, who let out an audible oof as he landed on the side of the street. "I do beg your pardon," Archie said, offering his hand to help the boy up. The lad flashed a smile, showing a unique set of small, pearly white teeth, before he took Archie's proffered hand and replied, "Quite all right." Without waiting for Archie to say anything more, the boy took off, disappearing around the bend. Hunching over against the cold wind that sent leaves dancing about his legs, Archie shoved his hands deep into his pockets and made his way down the brick street, no longer in the rush he was in moments before. "Mary, I don't see how we can afford to keep her." The booming voice was startling. Archie glanced up at a window, which was open in spite of the chill. "Let's see, £2.19.
George, dear.
Now, Mary, hold on a moment. I have the tally right here. Do you think we might try it for half a year on, say, 553? Only half a year, mind you. Oh, drat, I forgot to figure in colic." The voice of the man and his wife argued back and forth as Archibald stood, rooted in place, wondering at their strange conversation. As this was his normal route home, he walked by number 27 every evening. He half hoped this financial dispute might possibly involve their dog. If it did, he would be more than willing to step up and offer to solve their financial dilemma. He lived alone, and the thought of the trim Newfoundland he had seen carrying in bottles of milk from the front steps bolstered his spirits. The talk of colic, however, kept him from knocking on the front door. "Shall we say £1? Yes, that is what I'll put down. But what of mumps? I've heard that can be quite taxing. I dare say that should be 20 shillings there. Don't give me that look, Mary." It was at this point a sharp cry of an infant pierced their conversation, and Archibald was quite certain that Nana, the Newfoundland, was most assuredly not the topic of money, colic, mumps, and their current distraught state. He shook his head, wondering about the sanity of the darlings in number 27, as the silhouette of a woman he presumed to be Mary shut the window and the voices muted. Poor Nana, Archibald thought, to be stuck with people such as that. He didn't even want to think about the child whose fate rested on the odds of her contracting whooping cough, and so he openly wished the inhabitants of number 27 would not be so lucky as to have any additional offspring. He voiced exactly that, and in that same instant heard that funny peal of bells again. This time it sounded suspiciously like laughter.